outside the other night, and there it was still dusk at 10. I'm like, here comes summer. Amen. I'm ready for it. This week, we get to look at Genesis 39, verse 2, as our focus verse today. And the Holy Scripture states, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian." Today, I'm going to teach on "The Lord is with you." I love Joseph. Joseph is just a great character study. And I know I say character even though he was a real man. Joseph sometimes is just, it's one of those stories that is absolutely encouraging. Because when I read about Joseph, I know that if I was in Joseph's spot, I would not have done as well as Joseph did. That's being honest. He had a rough path. But what I thought was amazing about Joseph is that it started because he was his father's favorite. And so the father created a coat to cover his son. And he received this coat as a symbol of his father's favor. And what is amazing is that when he got his coat of many colors in Genesis 37, 3, the very next verse said, "And his brethren saw that their father loved him more, and all his brethren, they hated him all the more." Boy, haters are just going to hate sometimes. That's what they do. They don't like that you can get favor. They don't like that God will cover. And all they want to do is hate that you have something that they don't. And what I find interesting about this is once he was covered, dreams started to be given. Because you will never get spiritual revelation, vision, and impartation without covering. I think it's ridiculous that people can say, "Well, I don't need a pastor in my life. I don't need a church body. I don't need this. God's speaking to me." Not without covering, he's not. You better have covering. Because if you have no covering, you get no dream. Because the dream came in verse 5, but the coat came in verse 3. One precedes the other. And so, what we have is we have a dreamer. Now, he has this coat that every time they saw it, they just hate. It creates that jealousy, that envy. I've seen it. I've seen it. You ever see the other service members look at a Marine in his blues? It's just pure envy. Pure envy. Right? Amen. Yes, it is. Don't lie. We're in the house of God. I've seen every recruiter I've ever known. When that Marine recruiter walks in, boy, they're not happy because they see that coat of many colors. But the point is that with or without the uniform, you're always a Marine. That coat became an identity. It became integral to his personhood. He walked around in favor. It wasn't ceremonial. It wasn't something he just put on just because everywhere he went, you read he was in his coat. When you come in and you go down in the water in the precious name of Jesus Christ, this is not something you ever take off. This is something that becomes an identity marker. That covering is there wherever you go. And it becomes something that recognizes you to everybody else. Because when he was sent to go get his brothers, the way that they would have known it was him is they would have recognized the coat before they recognized it was him. The covering identified him before any other feature of him did. So, when they saw him, they identified him not by his name, but by what God was doing. Here comes the dreamer. Here comes the dreamer. Some people can say in the world, here comes that Christian. Good. Good. I don't want to be identified by me anymore. Let you identify me by what the Father gave. Because that is the great glory where it says, do your works that others may glory to him. Give him glory. You're not trying to glorify me. Glorify him. That's why when Brother Long is like, how much glory do you want? It depends on how much glory you can hand over. You're not here to take the coat and say, look at me, look at me, look at me. That coat is symbolizing the Father. Just as that blood isn't, look at me, look at me, look at me, I'm perfect. That blood covering symbolizes the mercy and grace of our Father. And so, when he sat there, they took him, they seized him, and the first thing they did is they did not throw him in a pit. The first thing they did is they wanted to remove the coat. But there's something that happened when they removed the coat. The dream stopped. Because nothing will kill spiritual impartation faster than when the brethren try and remove each other's coverings. It becomes dangerous when we get to a place where we want to expose one another for what we were before we had the covering, and then still think that the dreams are going to come. That doesn't happen. Because when they did this, they took the coat that was meant to symbolize favor, and instead they tried to use it as a symbol to identify that what the dreamer had is now dead. And we have a group of people in our nation that run around waving a rainbow and saying what this stood for is now dead. And yet they fail to recognize that just as the brethren tried to do it, it sends them into a path where they're going to have to kneel before what it said. Everyone will kneel before Jesus Christ and confess he is Lord. I see it as you're trying to wave a coat, but it's only a matter of time before you end up before Joseph. And you have to say, I'm starving, I'm dying, help us. Because they're going to know. I don't worry about the world getting crazy. I look at it, God's shaking. It's only a matter of time before he threshes it right into here. But we have to know our identity and who is with us. See, Joseph, he was sent down to Egypt. And what I think is most important is that Joseph was blessed with not having Job's friends. Oh, my goodness. Couldn't imagine that walk. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Why are you in chains? Like, oh, goodness. Here we go. Don't need you. This is bad enough. But it's true. There's just times where your dream, there are those who on your journey that you are having to go to your calling, they're going to look at you and say, oh, well, God wouldn't do that. Oh, yes, he will. Yes, he will. Because you're going to have to go on the journey so that your coat of transitioning from favor to authority doesn't destroy you. The worst thing we can have is authority without love. Paul says you could have all power, but if you have love, you're nothing. If we do it without the heart of Christ, then this is for nothing. It doesn't matter if people can get up out of wheelchairs if they will leave spiritually crippled. But as Joseph showed up, he ended up in Potiphar's house. Now, we all know the story. Another person, he's elevated, God is with him. The Lord is with him and blesses him. Didn't bless Joseph, blessed Potiphar. That's a little hard sometimes when you become another person's blessing while they're using you. That's hard. It's hard to swallow. But we realize that when the Lord is with you, he's with you to bless those that have no idea who he is, so that they can recognize there's something different. You have access to something that I don't. The blessing should turn their attention to the blesser. God will send us into encounters with all sorts of people. And it is because the Lord is with you. And so it's not our job to sit there and be like, well, God, why aren't you blessing me? Why aren't you happy that you see him blessing? We want to be a blessing, but the truth is, if we get our flesh in the way, I want you to be blessed after me, rather than the vessel that God uses to bless you. And so, when he was down there, he had a Potiphar's wife who saw, well, he looks good. And she also tried to wrench at his covering. Now you become a blessing, so she grabs hold of that blessing, thinking, I can force you to do my will. So he ran. Because just because we're walking in blessing does not give us a right to entertain sin. It's time to leave. It's time to leave. And if there's ever a person that's got a hold of my coat, know that I ran. That's all there is to it. I ran. Because we have to flee. Some things are stand and resist. Some things are run. You got to know. This isn't a fight that if I stay long enough, I'm going to win. If I don't leave now, I might not leave at all. I got to go. And that, to me, is spiritual maturity. But then, something happens. He gets punished for it. Boy, that's not preached a lot. Do right and receive a reward. Like, yeah, of punishment. Like, wait a minute. No. Well, I don't see it as punishment. I see it as an upgrade. Joseph was taken because he had a dream. God gave him a dream and said, this is how I see you. That's one of the greatest blessings you can ever receive outside of him is the revelation of how he sees you. So many people will struggle with identity because the identity is still based on what they think of themselves rather than what he thinks of them. Because when we had the son, the lost son in Luke 15, he went out from his father. He took and he said, Father, what you have is more important than you to me. Most of Christianity that preaches prosperity does not want Jesus. They want what he has possession of. I want you to open your hand and bless me. I want that authority. I want that power. I want the access to riches. But I really don't care about you. And when I become more concerned with blessing than the one who blessed me, I am in danger of selling my inheritance for temporary pleasure. Because sin has a season of pleasure. In fact, it's scientifically proven. Cocaine is best experienced on its first use. Scientifically proven. The user will never get the same high they did on the first sensation. Every time, the brain produces less dopamine and endorphins than it did the very first time it used it. So every time is less and less and less, because that's what sin does. Sin gives you the very best of it at the beginning. And while its height of pleasure is capped, the depths it'll bring you to isn't. It is limited on how high it can bring you, but it can take you lower than you ever thought you could go. And every time you think there's a rock bottom, welcome to the bottomless pit. There is no bottom to hell. You can go deeper. You can do things you never thought you'd do. And here he is in prison. Here he is in prison. He went from being the servant of a house to now being in charge of a prison because the Lord was with him. Everything was put into his hand. But prison isn't ran like it is today. It's not state ran. That was the Pharaoh's prison. He went from being in charge of what Potiphar had to now being in charge of something the Pharaoh has. And if you can be faithful with the least, you can be faithful with much. Let's see how you operate. See, before you can ever be tested, before you can ever go to a mountain, you first have to go through a valley. Because valleys are created from mountains. Valleys occur when a river and a stream source comes off of a mountain and cuts through the land. So the reason you are in a valley is because the valley testifies to the water source on the mountain God's bringing you to. This can't exist without this. You can't get to the dream if you can't be faithful with a little nightmare. But when he was a prisoner, he had such an amazing testimony. Because here he was. Here he was. Two men showed up. And he said, hey, why the long faces? What do you mean, Joseph? We're in prison. Could you imagine if you got sent to prison and somebody's like, hey, why are you down? I'm in prison, bud. But the point is Joseph got a hold of something. The Lord is with him. It doesn't matter where I am. What matters is who's with me. There is a peace that surpasses understanding. There is a liberty that surpasses the bars and chains. There is something with God that is so great that if we can really get a hold of it, our situation stops becoming the mood. And who I'm walking with becomes my joy. Who I'm walking with becomes my peace. Who I'm walking with becomes my everything. Brother Hernandez used to say, he said, as an evangelist, I have a saying. If we lose everything, we still have Jesus. Wow. Wow. That's a serious heart. That's a mindset. Because he knew I could lose it all in a moment. All it takes is nobody calling me up. God, I'm in your hands. Joseph was in the prison. But there he was. Hey, why the long faces? And they say, well, we're troubled with some dreams. Now, the removal of his covering. You never read of Joseph getting another dream. But the dreamer was used to help others realize the dream God was giving them. See, people don't understand the importance of a pastor. One of the jobs a pastor has is he was given a call and a vision of who God saw him as. And when he got positioned, he's now, one of his roles is to help you realize the dream God has for you. One of his jobs is to give the interpretation. Let me give understanding to what God's trying to call you to. Let me give understanding. There's many roles. That's one of them. The dreamer is there to help with dreams. Now, something interesting about Joseph is the Lord is with him. You don't read about his brothers anymore. The only time you read is, well, there's Judah with his daughter-in-law. That's it. Now, you could sit there and say, oh, well, you know, the Bible, it just followed Joseph. Well, no, I think it followed the Lord. The Lord is with Joseph. I don't know about you guys. I don't read any more worship. I don't read more sacrifice. I don't read more revelation. But here's Joseph. I get to follow what God's doing through his process. You have to understand that God is with you, and he is taking each and every one of us through process. But we can get to a place where we lose what we initially had. I find it amazing that new converts will more easily weep than veteran saints that have been in this a lifetime. And then want to turn around and tell me that you know more of Jesus than they do. Really? Then why are they crying and you aren't? Why is their heart turning to him and you're standing there, we know. I don't want to get like that. I don't want to get like that. And I'm not pointing the finger at anyone. I'm just saying, there comes a point where if God's with me, that initial experience, sometimes I don't feel it. Sometimes I don't even see it. But it doesn't mean it's ever gone from me. There is nothing that can remove the love of God from us. Pastor was preaching it. There is nothing that can take that off of you. And yet the enemy will sit there and do everything he can to convince you the Lord is not with you. The Lord doesn't want to be with you. That's not true. That's not true because it was said that Joseph was sent there. He said, you did this for evil. You guys sent me into imprisonment. You sold me as a slave. You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. But here's the thing. I don't believe it was just a physical famine why Joseph had to go through what he went through. All God had to do was speak a word. Things would have grown. He didn't need Joseph for that. But the heart that would betray brothers, that's going to create a spiritual famine like you've never seen. You're going to kill everything that God would ever try and harvest. That you do need to be saved from. And I will use your situation to make you bow. Brother Hernandez, he told me that God is a humble God. And he only deals with humility. Lord resists the proud. He'll deal with you. Get you humble. And he said, Brother Mitchell, if you're being in God's will, he said, there's only one question when it comes to humility. You can either humble yourself or you can let God do it for you. He said, no matter what, you're going to eat crow. But if you humble yourself, you can pick the recipe. So I'm like, okay, makes sense to me. So what amazed me about it when we talk about Joseph is in this position where, boy, how many would restrain their hand from getting vengeance when you're positioned to do so? And you're telling me that something didn't get a hold of Joseph on his journey. I don't believe for one second Joseph had that heartbeat before he went. Because I know that it is really, really easy, as a speaking from experience and only for me, God can release great promises, and if I'm not careful, boy. Right? Walking around like, yeah. Like the coat, huh? Dad likes me. That kind of thing. And think I'm better than people. You know, Christians, to me, we're not better than any sinner. We just have an understanding that he is. To sit here with the truth that all have fallen short. It makes it absolutely ridiculous for us to get out our measuring sticks and see who fell less. Because we're measuring and competing against each other, and you don't even have a measurement to see how far you are from him. Because as we were talking and it was being preached about the heavens, what's amazing is the Jewish tradition believes that there's three heavens. The first is our atmosphere. The second is outer space. And the third is what we would know as heaven. Each one begins traditionally where the previous one stops. So we have our atmosphere, and then the second heaven is exponentially greater than the first, because the third is exponentially greater than the second. We don't even know the measurement of outer space, but scripturally we do, because it says he measures it like this, with a hand breadth. This is how big outer space is. But then we have a third heaven that fits God, fits his throne, fits all the angels, fits the sea, fits covering, fits blessing. But this, we're using a telescope to figure out how big his hand is. And we still don't know. And then I want to stand up here and try and wrap my head about how big our God is. But what's interesting is there is no distance that is ever greater than the distance I create with him in here. Because the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us to reveal his light, to reveal himself to you, to reveal himself to the world. But when you get into Ezekiel, and it talks about that river that has to be measured, and it's flowing out from the temple. A river is formed because it flows from under a shut door and it gets through a crack. What do you think would have happened if the temple door was open? God says, don't put this under a bushel. I want you to let it shine. Let it flow. Let this go out so that everyone sees. Because if we try and hide this, the first person that sits in the dark is you. Your whole house goes dark. And you can't even see what the light is trying to reveal to you anymore. And the first thing is the word of God is a lamp unto my feet. I no longer know where I'm walking. I no longer know where I'm standing. And I can sit here with the delusion that I'm okay. But, I have to realize that the Lord is with me. But within me, only one can sit on my throne. And I know that Scripture says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I believe that. I absolutely believe that. I have seen chains broken. I have experienced, I have been in where it's like, oh, yes, 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 yes. Whew, you feel that? And you're just like, yeah. But I've also been in places where God's dealing with me and knocking in places in my heart. And I say, no, I'm not opening that. You know why that's why the enemy fights so hard for your mind? Because the gates of hell do not prevail against the church. But with you, he has to knock. You are the one place the enemy can hide. You are the safest place for the enemy because if you say no, God has to stand out. And we can get into this place and have liberty and say, God is with us, and yet I can make God a prisoner in me and say, you have to be confined right here. You're not allowed to leave. So the question never really is the Lord with me? The question is, am I with the Lord? Am I with him? And I will tell you, as I was studying this, there was something I came across that shifted my understanding. There was a time where I really, really didn't understand. And I'm not saying I understand now. So don't, like, oh yeah. I'm not saying that. But in this time of failure to understand, I hit a place that is spoken about with John 6:60. Where it says, this is a hard saying, who can understand it? And in John 6:66 says, and many of his disciples walked with him no more. God told me something, and I didn't understand it whatsoever. And so I tried to process it through reason, thinking somehow that my carnal mind wouldn't be enmity against him, and that I could figure this out. Which is surprising because the nature of the enemy is you can know the devices of the enemy, but you cannot know the thoughts of God. You're only going to get that through revelation. I can figure out the devil. I can think like the devil. I don't think like him. I have to be taught. I have to be shown every day. Lord, new mercies. Your mercy is made new every day. I need it. That's the reason it's there, because I need it. The day you think you don't need provision, then you're passing up on the greatest provision there is. And so when I'm sitting here, instead of me not understanding and trusting, I tried to figure out. And the more I figured out, the more I didn't understand. The more I didn't understand, the more frustrated I became. The more frustrated I became, the more angry I got. And all of a sudden, this turned into this. And the more I shook, the more fury built in me. And I went from God Why is this happening to God? How dare you? And so I hit a low point, and I knew I was at a low point. So I finally came to my senses, much as the lost child did, because the reality is that when he went out and he thought he knew best, he ended up in a place that the Father never would have put him in. And here's what happened to that son. He never had the Father's thoughts stop thinking about him. His Father never stopped loving him. His Father never denied him. His Father never disowned him. But his identity and his mind changed. He said, I will rise and I will say, Father, I'm not even worthy to be a son. I can get to a place where I no longer even feel worthy. And I'm not saying I'm worthy, but that I'm so low that you can't even love me. He wouldn't love me like a father. And I hit that place. And so I went into the church in the middle of the night. It was about 3 a.m. And I walked in, and whether or not anybody online, I don't care if anybody believes me or not, hate for you. I walked in and there was a presence of God. They're so powerful that the moment it came in, the moment I just uttered Jesus, that I broke down and I started weeping. And I sat at the front pew and I said, how could you even want to be near me? And the presence sat right by my right side, and I felt it embrace me. And I wept, and I wept, and I wept until my eyes failed to produce tears. And it's then that I realized that Peter was the only one in that relationship that ever said, depart from me. Depart from me, for I'm a sinner. But while Peter was in the midst of denying him, in Luke, it says the Lord looked at him, and those words never left his mouth. Instead, the words that were in Jesus' mouth were the words that Brother Mike had preached, which is, I have prayed for you. I know where your feet are going. Not because I ordered it, but because of where it's going. You're going to depart. You're going to leave my presence. I'm praying that your feet find their way back. Because there's nothing that can remove us from the Father's love. He is with us. And as I was studying, there is something that shifted my understanding. When I was in that night, I said, God, how could you love me? He gave me one of the greatest revelations I've ever had over the Holy Ghost. And it was this. He said, when I gave you the Holy Ghost, and, you know, Brother Lom's talk about that unction. This is unction. Okay? This is unction. When I gave you the Holy Ghost, I not only knew everything you have done, I also knew everything you were in. And I also knew every failure you would ever stumble on. And none of it changed my mind that I wanted you. None of it ever stopped me from wanting to be with you. So, as I was studying this, I found that there is a thing in a hospital known as an honor walk. For those that don't know what an honor walk is, in a hospital, it's known as a code hero. When this code is called, all faculty members who are not currently engaged with a task
have to line up in the hallway to pay tribute to the person who's about ready to become an organ donor. They line from their bed of the room all the way to the operating table to honor the last moments of that person's life. Because something is about ready to be given that gives others the ability to live. And as I was watching that, I remember God, he started to stir on me. And he said, if the hospital looks like that in the world, what do you believe the path from the cross to the grave looked like in the spirit? It shifted my understanding of Ezekiel 36:26 when he said, a new heart I will give you. A new spirit will I put in you. That 27, he says, I will put in my spirit. I understood that he took on our form so that he could donate his blood because I was dying. He could donate his heart, that he could donate his spirit, and that everything about him is so that we could have his dream. His dream. This dream that we think is our call, it's his dream. Because it ends in Revelation chapter 21, verse 3. It says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. This is his dream. He knew you before he formed you. His dream is that I want to be with you. We don't come to this house so that we can find him. He was with you before you came, and he will be with you after we leave. But we come to give him glory. We come to gather together because we have a God that even when we are faithless, he is faithful. And no matter where we find ourselves, he is with us. And that church is not based on you. It's based on him. So don't let the enemy tell you that God isn't with you and that he doesn't want to be with you because he's not trying to. He tries to convince you that it's about you. But really, it's about him. It's about his character. God is with us. And in this house, I have come this day to give honor and praise. Amen. Amen. So, oh, thank you, Jesus. All right, we'll take time to fellowship, get some drinks, get ready. We're going to worship. Amen.